Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Angela Chen with Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale Film Festival. I'm here with Paul Williams, director of Grumul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your film is the epic life story of this enormous Aboriginal musician. It was, weird in a good way, persona, very shy, very closed, but with a huge natural talent. How did you start working on this project, and which were your goals on that?
Yeah, we had grandiose goals, but it was difficult because once he agreed to it, there were two provisos. The first one was that he would not be interviewed, so we had to have a film essentially where the main subject wouldn't speak throughout the entire film. So we had to really kind of come up with some very creative techniques to otherwise tell the story. So we relied on his musical collaborator, Michael Honan, and his manager, Mark Gross, and some members of his family to tell his story for him. So that was a real challenge at the start. So our overall goal was really just to depict his people, not just him as a personality, which is a Western or European championing of the individual, which we're familiar with, which the whole cult of celebrity is built around. It doesn't work like that in his Yolngu world. Okay, it's about the collective. The collective is more important than the individual, and you can't stray from that collective. Your role within it is assigned, and we needed to show his world, his people, through him as a personality. So it was a challenge.
Also because he looked to be, as I said, really shy, really closed, and not very much interested in getting in touch with the outside world, outside of his own traditional one.
That's right. Unless you had spent a lot of time with him and he trusted you. Being blind, I think it's certainly adds to that situation. I think he was blind. He was naturally very, very shy. The whole notion of fame, the whole notion of celebrity, the whole idea that when you become famous, that this particular world opens up to you, which, you know, a lot of people covet. Like, in a way, as filmmakers, we covered that as well. We want people to see our film. But he was not interested in that. It did not... and it seems quite counterintuitive that... But while he was alive, he didn't care if it all ended tomorrow. Like, that all had no significance to him, really. He found no sense of purpose or meaning, really, in that.
Actually, Michael said in the film at some point that they were working as everything was the last concert or the last gig or the last album, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this kind of philosophy affected your filmmaking too?
Yeah, it did. It's very difficult for Skinny Fish to run a business under those circumstances. And it was difficult to make the film under those circumstances as well, because his health was poor. We knew in a way that we were running against the clock to get the film made while his health was still... Obviously, we didn't know he was going to die, but while he still had his great concerts. So, yeah, it certainly did impact our... It wasn't like a normal film, let's just say that.
And how long did it take to shoot it? I mean,
We shot it not continuously, but over a period of about 3 years. But the film covers a lot longer period, because I found archival footage from when he was a child on his island, and Skinny Fish, his label, had recorded a lot of footage over the years, so we were able to use some of that in an archival sense, which was very helpful.
I just wanted to ask you something about one specific part of the film that was really funny in a way, and that gave us exactly the picture of how he was compared to the rest of the world. When he met Sting, he's with Sting on a French TV show called Taratata to do a live show, and the things didn't go exactly as it was supposed to be.
That's right. I mean, you see it when you see the film. That he's meant to be doing a duet with Sting for the song Every Breath You Take, you know, a very famous song. And he's meant to have had the lyrics. There's a really interesting kind of like linguistic thing happening here and philosophical thing. He's meant to have had the lyrics translated. Now, what that song is about a stalker or someone like looking at someone, you know, from afar, you know. And the sentiment there doesn't really translate into his culture. So people are on Alka Island looking at this song, and they're saying, what does this even mean? You know, how do we sort of translate it? So at the very last minute, he gets it and learns it, and they're all, you know, like backstage fluffing around, kind of like all going a bit crazy because, you know, thinking that it's not going to be able to go to air because he's so poorly prepared. But at the last minute, he learns he's part of the song, and it's beautiful.
And it was also funny, the fact that Michael was saying when the people from the TV show were complaining that he didn't know the song, well, yeah. He doesn't know who Sting is, actually.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't even know who Sting is.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the film, there is a panel saying that for that specific culture, once a person dies, his word and images and thoughts or whatever cannot be replicated. And this could have been a big problem for you.
Okay, so generally what happens when a Yolngu person passes away, they retire the image and voice recordings and also the name for a step, not forever, but for a period of time, up to, you know, as long as the family determines. It can be 3 months, it can be 6 years. After his ceremonial funeral in last November, they made an exception for him because, firstly, he's so famous in Australia. Secondly, of the internet, it's really impossible now to control that. Thirdly, in a strange kind of way, the younger Yolngu people were bouncing photos around on Facebook and Instagram. And the most important reason, though, the main reason, the one we give in the film, is because they see his artistic heritage and his legacy as being incredibly important, that they want that preserved. And they've seen the film, they endorse the film, and they want as many people to see it as they can, because that's their world.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thanks to Paul Williams for having been with us, the director of Gurumul, and Manjula Cherubi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.